A right bumpkin, this guy. This is the Padded Room Podcast, boys only edition this week. My name is Darian. Buddy is in the house.
Yes, I am.
We are without Miss Monica.
Yeah.
She has decided to give up on us in favor of old man porn.
Mm-hmm.
A difficult decision to make.
No.
I'm just kidding. She's out. She's out this week, inmates. She's got, what did she say she had? Strep throat? She has no voice.
Something. Yeah.
Is what it boils down to.
Yeah, she got something nasty.
Yeah, we saw. She got something, all right. We saw her last night, ladies and gentlemen. She's fine. She just simply does not have a voice. And,
yeah.
I mean, for all of my fancy equipment here, if you don't have a voice, I can't really find much. Well, I can find something for you to do underneath the table. But
she might have a sexy whisper.
That's true. But that's a whole lot of editing that I don't want to do. So,
yeah.
Sorry, Monica. Let's all wish Monica a speedy recovery. I'm sure she'll be with us next week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It sucks because we shot another short film last night.
Yeah.
She was going to be our shining star.
Yep.
And she shows up with no voice.
Yeah. That's
I told
rough.
Her, go back to the fucking car, get your voice, come back in and see me. She's like, I got no voice, dude. Yeah. I can't help you.
Yeah, very unfortunate.
Yeah, luckily the Red Queen was in the house to
yes, sir.
To take control of the situation, which she did.
Mm-hmm.
And we are up and running. We're going to have something, hopefully, for you to look at in the next 3 or 4 years.
That's right.
That's how my creative process works, all right? Leave me alone. What do we got? We got the usual shit show here, inmates. Why don't we got the horror news, the listener mail. All that crapola. We might be a little short this week, since we're sans one Monica. And to be honest with you, Buddy and I are pretty fucking tired, because we were up all night chasing each other around with knives and shit.
Yeah.
Which was a lot of fun, but it's very taxing. Emotionally, more than anything else. All right, let's get ourselves into some horror news, if we could.
Mm-hmm.
Horror news.
Mm-hmm. Buddy, you got anything?
Yeah, so Piranha franchise is returning with Japanese film Summer of the Piranha.
I saw that.
Yeah, it is in pre-production right now and planned for a 2018 release. It'll be the 6th installment.
Oh, do we really need another Piranha movie?
The graphics should be better, right?
I would imagine so. I wonder if it's like... I mean, I know a Japanese company owns it.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. I wonder if it's going to be a Japanese movie, though. You know, with all Japanese people.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't necessarily be mad at that. But given the last two installments, we need a heavy dose of breasts.
Yes.
And let's be honest. Well,
there was a lot in that last 3D one.
Yeah. Asian women, not yeah. so big on the boobies, usually. Was that a racist statement? I'm just saying, generally speaking, there are... All right, I'm going to shut up before I get sued.
All right, sad news. Bill Paxton has died today at the age of 61.
I saw that this morning.
From complications from heart surgery.
God damn it, man.
Yeah.
That sucks.
I thought it was a hoax when I looked at it.
So did I. And then I saw like 28 people posted it, and I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yep, it's legit.
That sucks because Bill Paxton's the only guy to be killed by the Terminator, the Predator, and the Alien.
Yeah.
Which, and now, I guess, life also.
Yeah.
Which totally sucks, man.
Mm-hmm. Hellboy fans. So there is going to be no more Hellboy 3. Guillermo del Toro says, Hellboy 3 started to report, spoke with all parties, must report that 100% the sequel will not happen, and that is to be the final thing about it. That's what he said.
Well, I mean, number one, I'm okay with that. That last Hellboy wasn't that great. Number two, just because he said it's not going to happen doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
Right. Somebody else might pick it up.
Somebody can pick it up. Somebody can buy the rights to it.
Yep. Turn it into a TV series.
That could go that way. It could be like animated features. I know there's a shit ton of those out there. And there's always the comic books, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you're really that into Hellboy, I'm not myself. I like Ron Perlman, but...
Yeah. Yeah, he did good.
Yeah. Other than that, I could take it or leave it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all I got. What do you got?
Oh, let's see here. What do we got here? Bill Moseley, you know him.
Oh, yeah.
I love him. He's a wonderful human being. He's going to be playing a child-eating clown.
Really?
Yeah, in the upcoming... I'm going to take a stab at this pronunciation. It's called Crepitus. Creepitus?
Weird.
I don't know. So it's C-R-E-P-I-T-U-S.
Okay.
Whatever that means or say. I have no idea. Crepitus, which sounds like a...
disease.
Oh, I was going to say a foreign cheese.
Oh.
Maybe. I don't know.
Very bad smelly cheese.
I'm sure it stinks, but I'm sure it tastes delicious. And it's probably very expensive. There's a Red Band trailer for this thing up at Bloody Disgusting. Child-eating clown, yes, but it does get a little molestation-y.
That doesn't surprise me.
You would,
with Bill Moseley in it.
I don't know about that. What do you?
Devil's Rejects.
Does he look like a molester to you? I guess he does.
What was that
one we watched the other day where he kidnapped the kid and tortured him to death?
Oh yeah.
And the parents tracked down the wrong guy.
Yeah, that's just
that was stupid.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'll check it out. I like creepy clowns and I like Bill Moseley. It's a win-win for me.
Mm-hmm.
Jeepers Creepers 3.
Yes.
A lot of talk about this business.
Mm-hmm.
I think it looks like Adrian Barbeau
is
going to be playing in
a little
this.
Sexy sultress.
Yeah. I mean, obviously not as hot as she was.
Right.
Right. She's still attractive. And mm-hmm. she's like horror pedigree. So
oh, yeah.
That'll help quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? We just saw her in something playing a DJ. What was that?
Oh.
Oh, Tales of Halloween, wasn't it? She was like the narrator, I think.
I think so.
Something like
might
that.
Might have been.
I remember she was playing a DJ, and I found that ironic since she played a DJ in The Fog. Whatever it was. Very cool. Are we all caught up on The Walking Dead?
No, just the first season of the Negan.
Okay. Me neither. so I think I'm maybe I got like two or three episodes ahead of you, and then I found something better to do.
Yeah.
Which is, I'll get caught up eventually. Apparently in last week's episode, there were 4 UFOs.
What? Yeah.
I don't know what that sound was you just made.
That was what and really at the same
at
time.
At the exact same time.
Yeah.
It's a whole new word. We're going to write a padded room dictionary for you. yeah, you can check out the footage on Bloody Disgusting. There's a scene where, I don't know where that we are with the plot of this thing, but there's a scene where Rick is talking to like the head of a different settlement.
Huh.
They go up on top of a hill and they're like overlooking a trash heap. And at one point, Rick turns around to address whoever he's talking to. And just over his right, left shoulder, there's like 4 flying things. Very small little thingies that just go whipping past.
Was this daytime or nighttime?
Here's the thing. That whole scene was shot against green screen. So whatever those things are, they're there for a reason. Somebody put them there.
Right.
Unless there's like some half-baked stoner CGI guy working on the show. And he's like, fucking aliens, man. Look at that.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Which would be awesome
if
that was the case. I would love to hang out with that dude. I'm going to put some fucking aliens in there. Rick, man, you're being watched by aliens. the footage is up at Bloody Disgusting if you want to check that out, inmates. It's super quick, but they like isolated it and zoomed in. There is something there. Something's flying in The Walking Dead.
So that's what started it, aliens.
Okay, it could be.
Yeah.
That would piss me off if it was aliens. I'd be like, oh, you motherfuckers.
Yep.
Really? Aliens? That's what we're... just became the X-Files.
Yeah.
You sons of bitches. Now I'm pissed off. So that's something to think about.
Interesting.
Are you familiar with the Belko experiment and what the shit this is all about?
No.
Independent film, a lot of buzz around this thing right now. Basically, you have your standard corporate office.
Okay.
And, you know, your white-collar type of dudes and the passive-aggressive secretaries and all the usual shit that would go on in a corporate environment.
Hmm.
At some point, the whole place just locks down.
Oh.
Cameras go on and start rolling, and everybody is trapped in there.
Okay.
And that's the movie.
Oh.
I haven't been able to find it yet, but it's making its rounds on the festivals, and a lot of people are really into the Belko experiment. As soon as it hits the pirate waters, I'm going to check it out. There's also a Belko experiment escape room virtual reality thing out there.
That'd be kind of cool.
It's right now, it's only on the Oculus Rift, unfortunately. But yeah. I'll check it out. I'm into the virtual reality.
Yeah,
I tried I like it. Sometimes give me a headache. I haven't tried beating off to it yet. I'm looking forward to it, though.
It'll give you a double headache.
Probably. Probably. yeah, so that's something to think about. It'll probably hit iOS in another month or two. It's out on Oculus Rift right now.
Okay.
Something to think about. Definitely keep an eye out for the Belko experiment. It's supposed to be a great show.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
I'll do the same. That's all we got on the horror news. Let's make our way over to the mailbag.
Mm-hmm.
For a little listener mail.
Listener mail.
We got emails, we got voicemails, we got the whole smorgasbord.
Oh yeah.
Cornucopia of such items. Started off with a brand new listener.
Right.
Hey-o.
Sweet.
I love brand new listeners.
Yeah.
This one is from Matthew F. Matt F. is our new friend over at cakewolf.com.
Very cool.
Very cool, Matt. Thank you for writing in. Subject line, Terra Dome. Matt's jumping right into next year's tournament. I love it.
Sweet.
Let me get you set up for your fighters. This is going to be the 2017 tournament starting this June. And we are picking our fighters. Matt F. is up first. Subject line, Terra Dome. I'd like Belial from Basket Case to represent me.
Oh, that's a first.
Wow.
Wow.
All right, Matt, if that's what you want to do, man. I mean, it wouldn't be my pick, but if that's... I'll put you down for Belial. All
right.
In the singles. He also wants the Deadites from Evil Dead in the teams.
Okay.
All right. We've never had Belial in the tournament.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, Matt. I don't see him doing much unless maybe against, like, the Leprechaun or maybe if he can get Chucky inside the basket with him.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe that's that. I think anybody else is just going to pick him up and put him, like, in the garbage disposal. And that's going to be the end of that, Matt.
You never know.
That's true. Exactly, Matt. That's exactly right. If I vote against Belial, then he's going to win the whole fucking thing. Because everybody hates me, apparently. You son of a bitch. Not that I'm bitter about this year's tournament.
Not at all.
Even though I was robbed. Sons of bitches. Speaking of sons of bitches, here comes Tony.
What's going on, Tony?
I didn't mean that, Tony. I'm just a little angry and tired. Subject line, my fighters. Greetings, Padded Room. This week, I was able to watch quite a bit. I started Black Mirror and watched the first two episodes. That's a great show.
Yeah, I need to get on that.
It's very technology meets just weird social commentary.
Wow.
I wouldn't really call it horror. There are some more horror episodes, but I'd call it more like a sci-fi social commentary type of thing.
Huh.
It's a great show. I think you'll love that.
Right on.
I watched Freaks of Nature. I have not seen that.
Hmm.
It's horror comedy, but we all have watched way worse movies.
Oh, yeah.
Also watched The Pack. I know that I'm going to die one day, but I hope to hell it's not death by a pack of feral dogs. Yeah, that's a pretty rough one, man. Mm-hmm. Getting ripped apart by dogs.
Yeah, that'd be horrible.
I feel like if it was just one dog, I could...
Fight it off?
I could at least, you know, like pin it down.
Yeah.
And put it in like where it can't bite me. And
yeah, maybe snap its neck.
I mean, like, some of those pit bulls, they got tree trunks for necks.
True.
Heads the size of fucking car fenders.
You could break their legs.
That, yeah, that might be a good idea. I always wanted to take, like, a dog, well, never mind. A
wishbone?
I was going to say take it, take its tail and, like, kind of, like, do, like, a, maybe try to tie it in a knot or something. I know that's impossible, and I'm sure it's very cruel. But if it's trying to kill me, then fuck off. For the next Terradome, I'm going to throw my name in the hat with the Cloverfield aliens for teams.
Cool.
Never know. Oh, he's talking about the little things that come off.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen 10 Cloverfield Lane yet. Are those things in there?
I haven't seen that one either.
Okay. All right, well, tentatively, I'm going to put you in for that one, Tony. The Cloverfield aliens.
Another new one.
Yeah. It's,
a couple are getting eliminated.
Probably, but I had a bunch of stupid ones in there anyway. Four teams and Clover from the first film. We can't, Tony, we can't have giant monsters in the Terradome because that's totally not fair. So get back to us with another singles pick and we'll go from there. And if you need names to fill out the list, I nominate Rabbits from Night of the Lepus from teams. What the fuck? Night of the Lepus.
What?
Any idea?
No.
I think he's just making shit up at this point. I nominate the crab things from Night of the Seagulls. I reserve the right to change my picks between now and then. Yeah. We'll put you down for the aliens from the Cloverfield aliens, Tony. Get back to us with another singles pick, though. Until next week, Tony. Very cool, Tom.
Hmm. Yeah.
Night of the Lepus. Are you looking that up right now?
I'm trying.
I'm curious about this Lepus business.
There we go. 1972.
Holy crap. You're digging deep, Tony. I think his strategy is just confuse the shit out of people, and then we'll just vote for him, and that's how he's going to win the whole thing, because we don't know what he's doing.
So all I see are, like, eyes.
Oh, it's just floating eyeballs. That's all it is. I don't think so, Tony. I don't know what you're up to, man. All right. We got a couple of voicemails here. Started off with one Gracie's Poppy.
Hey, it's JP.
JP,
what's going on, JP?
I was going to render you with a, I was going to sing We Are the Champions.
Okay.
In honor of the Predators.
All right.
Terradome.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just woke up to some fairly devastating for me anyway.
News. You okay?
And it's for some other people.
Oh, Bill Paxton.
I just found out Bill Paxton passed away, man.
Yeah.
And I just really, really bummed me the fuck out.
Yeah, us too.
I love that guy.
Near Dark.
Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And Frailty was fucking awesome.
Frailty. Predator.
Yeah,
too.
I know, man. He did so much. He's like a best character actor, I guess. One of the best.
Chet from Weird Science. Man.
Twister.
Fuck.
Shit, that sucks.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway. Let's see. I'm so fucking bummed. Seriously.
Yes, it did happen, right, man.
Memories of Therapy Watchers. The Watcher.
Yeah.
It was alright.
Yeah.
A little boring.
Yeah.
At first I thought Denise Crosby was, you know, she was the one that's doing it. And then started thinking, well, they're setting her up as a red herring, so it can't be her. But, you know, I call bullshit on that ending. I mean, the way the whole movie went, how she acted towards the kid, and how the kid acted, and all, I just call it bullshit.
Yeah.
It just, they tried to do that twist ending, and they just overreached.
I agree.
It just didn't work for me. I don't believe it the fuck at all.
Yeah. Stretch.
But other than that, I mean, like, the acting was alright, it was creepy, and that's it, I guess. I'm going to go and cry and watch, I think I got Twister.
Watch Predator 2. That's
a pretty good movie with Bill Paxton. Anyway, Bill Paxton, I love you, dude. Sorry. I'm out. Bye-bye.
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 You know, it's a funny thing. We're in a way, we're kind of living in a new age with all this social media crap. Mm-hmm. But we who grew up without it are now having to embrace a universe where it does exist, and news is almost instantaneous.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing about it is that we're all getting older, which means that the people that we grew up with are starting to die off.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really have this I guess, acceleration when we were kids.
Right.
So when somebody died when we were kids, it would be a week or two before we found out about it.
Yeah.
Now it's like day of, sometimes even hours of. And I mean, it sucks, but we're getting older and all of our favorite character actors and directors and all that shit, all that guys are all dying.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon the podcasters are going to start dying, buddy.
Oh, man.
Fucking shit.
Mm.
I think I'm okay for now. I'm pretty healthy.
Yeah,
I feel
the,
fine.
You're the youngest of us.
That's true. Monica, on the other hand, not looking good, kids. GP, take it easy, my friend. These things happen, man. It sucks, but it does happen, you know? Now, if Lance Henriksen dies, we have a serious problem.
Yeah, or Tom Hardy.
Well, he's way too young to die.
Not true.
Right? And he looks too good.
Yeah.
Who else? Gary Oldman?
Oh, yeah.
I might take to the streets if Gary... I don't know why I would do that, because what am I protesting death in general?
Yeah.
I might have a nervous breakdown or something if Gary Oldman goes... All right, GP, thanks for calling in. I think he called again, or possibly... Nope, Sarah. Here comes GP's daughter, Sarah.
Hey, it's Sarah.
Hey, Sarah. Sarah.
God, I hope I'm not too late. I woke up late.
No, and you're
fine. And guess what? I'm not in the library this time. Go me.
Oh, good.
Hmm.
My cat in the background.
Oh, it was kind of funny. You at the library. Like,
murder movie. It's not that I'm mad at it. It's more that it was boring and I wanted to fall asleep at 1 o'clock in the morning. It really didn't... No. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, I just made stupid notes. There's one single death inside the house, I wouldn't go there, live there for any superstition, because that's just me. But you know, you do you, boo. That's okay. let alone someone sending me a letter, or hearing banging.
Those letters were creepy.
In a hotel. No matter how much I'm paying and how much money I have left. No. Done.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Well, they got a discount. Everything.
That's true.
Wrapped. Stop. After that, I'm out. After that, we know you're up there. You actually don't know, and no one was up there. So you kind of just looked stupid. Good job.
Well, I mean, you're taking the word of the tar kid.
Call me anytime. Wait, there's a plot twist. She's typical.
Right.
I'm 90% sure that Raven visitor, I stole her dad. If you couldn't tell already, I'll know if he said anything, but that was stolen off my dad. the movie was boring, so mine is 10 points for that.
And right.
It has negative 50.
Yeah.
like one person was common sense. The person won't name Emma. She won't. So after that, just went all past the third movie again. Sadly, what was worse than not asking? The newest version of Romeo and Juliet was Leonardo de freaking Capri.
That's true.
Bye. I'm going to go back to see ya. Bye-bye.
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 I think she was having some phone issues there.
Yeah.
I don't think she was a fan of your immersion therapy, sir.
No.
I just between me and you, can you pick some stinkers so that I'm off the hook for a minute?
This wasn't a stinker?
I mean, not compared to some of the crap that I've come up with. Did you watch American Poltergeist?
No.
I started getting death threats after that one. I think Tim was going to get on a plane, fly here, and punch me in the face all the way from Australia, which is some serious effort considering the distance. Ay, ay, ay. Sarah, go give your dad a hug, will you please? He's having a hard time with this Bill Paxton thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it on the listener mail, I think. Let me just double check. Slow week on the mail front. Everybody's having a Terradome hangover, I suppose. These things happen. That's it on the listener mail. I guess it's time to get into a movie, unless you have anything for Matt F., Tony, or GP, or Sarah.
Welcome, Matt F., to the podcast.
And let's talk about Cake Wolf for a minute here, kids.
Yeah.
Matt's got some kick-ass drink recipes over there. You're going to look at them. You're going to be a little intimidated, because a lot of this shit doesn't look like it goes together. Just try it out. I think we picked the worst of it with the Leatherface, right?
Yeah, but that was really good.
Not bad. Yeah. Not bad at all. A little on the weird, like, Bloody Mary side.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, like, throw-up bad. It was, I mean, like, it's drinkable.
Mm-hmm.
You see bone broth and beef sticks in the recipe, and you're like, fuck you. That does not belong with alcohol.
Yeah, then after you try it, it's like, hey, where do I sign up?
Yeah, not too bad. Yeah. I'll take another one.
Yeah, give me a beef stick and bone broth.
Yeah, and do you have a bigger beef stick for my friend Monica? She's
an older beef stick?
Yeah. Very cool, inmates. Check that shit out. Thanks for writing in. I think we're going to get ourselves into a little movie here.
Oh, yeah.
New terror fills the screen with horror. The Night of the Seagulls. Where are these women going, dressed in mourning? Leading a young girl to sacrifice. Mystery surrounds the horsemen from the ancient past. The Night of the Seagulls.
I only want to know which way to go to get there.
What was happening in that strange village?
At the end of the road. On the cliff.
Now, there's you, Toby Teddy! Toby Teddy! Ah!
Ah! Please go.
I set you free.
They're near here. Get away, sir. Peter said they died 6 centuries ago. I'm being given up to them so others may be saved. Hurry, you must get away, sir.
I won't leave you here. Bring some wood! Hurry! Nothing could stand up against the cruelty and the fanaticism of the dead horseman. Night of the Seagulls, with Maria Costi, Victor Petit, Sandra Mozorowski, Julie James.
The pretty girls, when they die, they become the seagulls that scream and cry. They're the damned spirits of the sacrificed girls.
The Night of the Seagulls.
What's that?
A beast of the sea. Must be a god belonging to some unknown culture.
What's going to happen to us now?
I don't know.
but this idol is responsible for all the sacrifices. Directed by Armando de Osorio, a ProFilms and Ancla Century Films co-production.
Christ. That commercial had commercial breaks that I cut out for you. It was a 4.5 minute commercial right there.
Yeah.
We're talking about Night of the Seagulls, rounding out franchise February with The Blind Dead.
Mm-hmm.
My Ahu. Shmi-ma-hu. This is Night of the Seagulls from 1975, starring Sandra Mazeroski, Victor Petit, and Maria Costi. This one, again, is written and directed by Armando de Osorio. This one's from 1975.
Mm-hmm.
So we start this one off with a flashback, I suppose, of a traveling individual and his wife. And his wife is wearing like a low-cut, busty,
boosty. Very low-cut.
Super low-cut. That's going to be a problem for her here in a minute.
Yeah.
They're lost, and they're in a carriage, and it's nighttime. And I guess they bought a house somewhere, but they don't know exactly where.
Yeah.
Which is probably bad practice when shopping for real estate.
Mm-hmm.
You want to at least get a good idea where the goddamn thing is.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You can't be throwing darts at maps when it comes to buying houses.
Oh.
I mean, just for... That's my own personal policy. they're lost, so they stop, and the husband is like, hey, I'm going to go knock on this door here and see if we can find out where we are. The wife is all put off by this idea because they're like out in the woods. He goes and knocks on the door, and we immediately cut to the Knights Templars riding out of the, I guess, of a castle or something somewhere, riding down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these aren't the undead Knights Templars. They're still alive at this point because this is a flashback. They ride up on the husband as he's knocking on this door. They just kill him pretty much right on the spot.
Yeah.
Whoever's inside that house was a real dickhole.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't let the husband in.
Nope.
Whatever. Then they ride back to the carriage and they round up the old lady there. Pretty much abduct her, throw her over the horse, and mm-hmm. take off back to the castle. They get to the castle and they throw her on the ground and her nipple pops out.
Yeah.
I think that's the way most female garments should be made.
Yeah.
So that they come to just above nipple area. And in that way, if you're going downstairs or anything, mm-hmm. out comes a nipple.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be hanging around a lot more staircases.
That's right.
That happens, and then they rip her shirt open, and then they stab her in the chest, and then they cut her heart out, and then they feed her heart to this weird... It almost looked like a fish to me, that statue.
Yeah.
They put the heart in the mouth of this statue that, to me, looks very... I guess it was supposed to be the devil, but it had, like, scales, and it almost looked like it had flippers.
Yeah.
Or,
it was weird.
Yeah. It had very fish-like qualities, it seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your opening of your movie there. Now we cut to, present day, circa 1975. I don't think we were in Brazzano.
Oh, also when they end up killing that lady after they ripped her shirt open, they're like crabs would start coming down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was a weird thing with the crabs.
Yeah, that was weird.
I think crabs are a lot creepier than they get credit for.
Yeah.
They're very spider-like. Mm-hmm. They got weird like antennas that come out mm-hmm. and shit, and they walk just like spiders.
Yeah.
But I think the difference...
Sideways.
I think they get let off the creepy hook because they're so tasty.
Yeah.
Because nobody eats spiders. At least nobody that I know.
No.
Maybe spiders are tasty, too.
Not intentionally.
Nah, that's right. so that happens, and now we cut to present day. I don't think we're in Brazzano, but we are in a weird seaside village. Mm-hmm. From this point forward, our movie is pretty much a shadow over Innsmouth.
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing, just not without the fish people. New doctor rolls into town with his wife. I don't know about this village, man. It looked like the Nazis bombed it, and then just nobody bothered to clean it up after yeah. that. They just kept living there because they didn't feel like going anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Like half-ass made buildings. It's right there on the seaside, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like weird fucking like steps that go nowhere and just piles of rubble. Stuff like that.
Yeah, and the people there are very rude.
They're fucking assholes. Yeah. That's what they are. And they don't like people that live in the present day. They wish everybody lived like in...
1800s?
Maybe. I don't know. If even that, 1700s possibly. I don't fucking know. So this new doctor rolls into town. He's got a hot wife.
Mm-hmm.
I liked her a lot. The actress is Maria Costi. Mm-hmm. And if you want to burn some calories, you can do a Google image search of her, and you will see her naked.
Oh.
So that's something to look forward to.
I'll get right on that.
Hands where I can see him, buddy. So he's got a hot wife. They pull up into town. I don't know if he just decided to scope out this place and become the doctor, or if he had like a pre-arrangement with the existing doctor.
Yeah, it wasn't really clarified.
Very strange. It seemed to me that he like got assigned this post somehow. I don't know how that works.
He was very excited about it.
He was. His first gig is like a doctor. Yeah. I think he just got out of doctor school or something.
Hmm.
He rolls into town. He's like, okay, I need to find the existing doctor, and then I guess I'm going to take over his house.
Yeah.
And that guy wants to get the fuck out of here, so I'll just take over his practice. And we're in business here in this shitty village. So they roll into town. They see all the blown-apart buildings and the piles of rubble and everywhere, and they're like, fuck this.
Yeah.
This sucks. But the doctor's trying to be optimistic. He's like, well, these people need health care, and I'm going to provide it because I'm a doctor, and that's kind of what I do.
Mm-hmm.
They pull into town. They find like
a bar.
General store.
He has like a bar saloon store. It's really weird.
I think it was the only functioning structure in this village.
Probably.
Thus, everybody had to be there at all times.
Yeah.
They walk in and they immediately get the stink eye from everybody in there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I guess you buy your groceries there, but then there's tables and stuff where people are marinating. He walks in and he's like, hey, good afternoon. I'm the new doctor and I would like to know where the existing doctor's house is. And everybody just gives him a stink eye.
Yeah.
Nobody says a word.
Assholes.
So, yeah. God. At least you could pretend like you don't speak English for me.
Right.
Burn some calories or at least give me a shoulder shrug or something. They all just stare at him. So then he walks up to the counter and there's a bitch bag old lady behind the counter. And he's like, hey, how about that doctor's office? She just continues on about her business.
Mm-hmm. Pouring drinks, whatever. Yeah.
Finally, he grabs one of these crotchety old guys and like shoves him a little bit. And he's like, hey, tell me where the fucking doctor's office is, you ingrate. And the guy's like, oh, it's over by the cliffs, by the road. Okay, well, great. We're off to a rip-roaring start here in this piece of shit village. I'd probably turn around at that point.
Yeah.
I'll go set up my own practice somewhere else. Fuck you people, I hope you all get scabies or something. He goes down the village, finds a doctor's house, knocks on the door. Doctor's this crotchety old guy. Goes inside, the doctor's like, I'm going to get the fuck out of here. I wish you guys would do the same. This village sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And the younger doctor, his name's Henry, his wife is Joanne. Henry's like, okay, well, I'll drive you out of here. He's like, you don't know the roads, I'm just going to walk. And he's like, that's weird.
Yeah.
This guy's like 105. And these are a bunch of seaside cliffs. Where the hell is he going to walk to?
Yeah.
It's like, all right, well, I'll walk with you a little bit. Take care of your suitcase and stuff. So they go walking off, leaving Joanne alone in this doctor's house slash, I guess, medical practice area.
Yeah.
Office, whatever. So she's like, oh, great. Leave me alone in this creepy fucking place. She's in there. She's setting up all the pseudo-medical equipment and making beds and shit. Pretty soon we get like a weird dude skulking around the outside.
Yeah.
And apparently he has like Bell's palsy or something.
Something.
He had the dumbest face, second dumbest face to this franchise.
Yeah.
The first dumbest was probably Murdo from Return of the Living Dead.
Mm-hmm.
I think these two are related somehow.
Yeah, probably cousins.
Yeah, or I think maybe their parents were brother and sister or something.
Maybe.
And now they're both retards. Congratulations, Mom and Dad. You fucked up. All right, so this guy's skulking around and, like, looking in the windows, and he's like, ooh. The stupid face, and he's got, like, blood dripping down his head. And you're thinking he's going to break in there and put a beating on Joanne. But then he just kind of walks in, and Joanne's like, holy shit, this is a fucking guy. So she, like, brandishes, like, a pipe or something, and she's like, I'm going to fucking whack you. And then he starts talking, and we basically learn that this guy is the village retard. His name is Teddy. And he's like, oh, Teddy's not going to hurt you. Teddy just got beat up by all the villagers, and now he's kind of bleeding from his head.
Yeah.
He speaks about
third person.
Exactly, about like in the third person, because I guess he doesn't understand.
Teddy's scared.
Yeah, stupid. I don't think they have a school anywhere in this village.
No.
Yeah, so that's I guess that's just how that happens. She's like, oh, shit, man, I'm sorry. Yeah, we're a doctor's office. We're open, so come on in. Very cool. Pretty soon, Henry comes back, and he's like, hey, we got our first patient here. Here's Teddy. He's got a gaping head wound, so we should probably take a look at that. They bandage Teddy. Really, Teddy just needs like a Band-Aid on his forehead.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that bad, but still. And we get a little backstory about this village. Teddy's basically the village idiot. And not unlike Murdo, the local villagers like to chase him down and beat the snot out of him. They don't have cable. You right. know? They don't have a playground. They don't. Their bar is not exactly jumping. It doubles as a supermarket. Mm-hmm. So what else are you going to do but beat up the village idiot? it sucks for Teddy, but yeah. Hey, you got to stay occupied, I guess.
And the old doctor told the other doctor to stay inside at night and yes. don't ask any questions.
Don't ask a fucking question, dude.
You're not going to get an answer anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody's going to talk to you.
No.
All right. Excellent. So that's the first night. We cut to the next day. Joanne decides that, or no, the first night is when we start with all the singing and shit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Night falls. Teddy crashes there that night, like up in the fucking attic or some shit. They fashion a bed for him.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon, Joanne and Henry go to bed, and we start getting like a, was it like a church bell or some shit? It was like a gong.
Yeah, like at midnight, it was like, boom.
Yeah, and then a bunch of singing from out on the beach. So they're like, oh, okay.
I thought the singing was part of the music at
That's
first.
What I thought, too. You couldn't really tell the difference.
Yeah.
It's like, is that just regular ambient sound, or is that? Are we supposed to hear that? I have no idea.
Yeah.
So they're like, what the fuck? They're having a party on the beach at midnight. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'd go hang for that. Henry and Joanne go outside, and they see this very Lovecraftian, I don't know, I kind of look like a funeral procession, I guess. Basically, the entire village is dressed in black robes except for one somewhat attractive young lady who's wearing a white robe.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all marching down to the beach and they're singing this weirdo song. And yeah, it's like, I'm not even going to sing it for you because I don't even know. they march her down to the beach. They tie her up to these rocks right there on the beach. And then they all mosey back to the village and they leave the hot chick there. Now, from this part, things get a little weird, because this is either a nightmare sequence, or, well, I guess it actually did happen, but I suppose Joanne may have dreamed it. We cut to stock footage from Tombs of the Blind Dead,
mm-hmm.
of the Knights Templars coming out of their graves, and then we see them riding their horses down the beach, and then they approach the young lady that's tied up to the rocks, and then that's when Joanne wakes up.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. Whatever. So, I guess for the purposes of this film, we're going to pretend that we didn't see the Knights Templars yet.
Yeah.
Because you would think if they saw a bunch of dead guys on horses, they would just get in their car and get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
That would be my move, anyway.
Yep, me too.
Well, it's a good thing Monica's not here, because she'd want to... Hey, guys!
Hi!
I see you're very old, aren't you? Oh, I'm so drunk right now. all right, that's weird. Now we cut to the next day. Joanne's like, all right, well, I got to do some grocery shopping in this piece of shit village. I got to get this done somehow. So she goes to the bar / general store, whatever you call that, with a list of shit that she needs for the medical office.
Yeah.
And she pretty much gets ignored by the old bitch bag behind the counter.
Oh, yeah.
Like
the same bitch bag.
Yeah. She lets like three other chicks go in front of her, and then the bitch bag just completely ignores her when she's like, hey, I got this list here.
Yeah, I was first here in line.
Yeah, you motherfuckers. Great. So she's there, and she's like getting frustrated with this whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon, another young lady shows up by the name of Lucy. Lucy's probably 16, 17 years old. Pretty attractive, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Lucy's in line behind Joanne, and she's watching Joanne get ignored by the bitch bag. So she's like, hey, Mrs. Bitch Bag, this lady here needs medical supplies for the doctor's office, which we may need at some point if we ever get sick or a head injury or some shit.
Yeah.
Why don't you help her out? And then the old bitch bag gives Lucy the stink eye, and then mm-hmm. eventually... Lucy takes Joanne's list and hands it to the bitch face behind the counter. And basically, Lucy buys Joanne's stuff for her, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
As they're walking out, Joanne thanks Lucy, and Lucy's like, hey, I know you're new here and everybody sucks. I hate it too, so maybe I could come work for you at the doctor's office.
Yeah.
Joanne's like, yeah, perfect. We need like a fucking liaison to deal with these primates here at the village, so you would be great for that.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So her and Lucy go walking back to the doctor's office. Introductions all around. We get to see Teddy's up and moving around, or lumbering around, I should say. Whatever he fuck it, his problem is. I don't know.
Creeping around.
Yeah, skulking, I guess, looking in people's windows. That's why he keeps getting beat up. He's a peeping Tom.
Mm-hmm.
He's pervert. Peeping Teddy is what he is.
Peeping Teddy.
And it's pretty hard to pull that off with those eyebrows.
Yeah.
They'll see you coming a mile away with that shit. All right, so that's cool. We got all this whole shit worked out. Next night comes around. Everything's cool. We asked some questions around town about the fucking ceremony on the beach there. Everybody just tells us to shut up and move on. And we asked Lucy about it, and she gets real quiet all of a sudden. And she's looking like she's going to run away. Mm-hmm. But then Joanne's like, oh, I'm sure it's just a local custom. Come on. So we're just going to kind of write this off for a second. Now we cut to the next night number two, again with the gongs and the fucking creepy music and the people singing, and Teddy comes moving around the outside of the doctor's office, knock on the door. Teddy's there. Teddy's like, Teddy's scared. Teddy wants to sleep here tonight if it's okay with you. All right, fine. God damn it. We don't have any real business, just this retard that keeps showing up at our door.
Mm-hmm.
Teddy comes in. He makes himself at home. Lucy's there. They're like, hey, Lucy, what's going on out there? She's like, it's just a local custom. Don't worry about it. Pretty soon there's another knock on the door. This one's like fevered and panicked. They open the door and they meet another young lady named Tilda.
Yeah.
Tilda comes rushing into the doctor's office. She's all sweaty and freaking out. She's like, you have to hide me. You have to hide me. They're coming for me. What am I going to do? Everybody's like, okay, well, let's just calm down now. We lock the door behind her, so everything's okay. The doctor gives Tilda like a mild sedative.
Yeah, tranquilizer.
Yeah, which is probably, I'll take five.
Yeah.
If I'm in Tilda's spot. Everything's cool for a minute, but then Tilda's parents show up at the doctor's office. They're like, hey, heard you got our daughter in there. How about you fork her over? And he's like, yeah, she's right here. Is everything okay? Because she's pretty panicked, and I do not suspect she's okay, actually.
And she's under my care now.
Yeah, so I'm going to give her over to you, but just keep an eye on her. And they're like, yeah, perfect. Just give her to us.
Yeah.
So they take Tilda. Tilda's like freaking out and trying to get away from her parents, but then they all go walking off to the beach, and that's pretty much it for Tilda.
Yeah.
We do get to see what happens to Tilda. They strap her to the old rocks there. Undead Templars show up, grab her, take her back to the castle, sacrifice her, cut her shirt open. She's got a nice rack on her, that Tilda. Cut her heart out and stick it in the old fish statue there.
And again with the crabs.
Should have been called Night of the Crabs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the crab to seagull ratio in this movie was much more in favor of crabs.
Yeah.
Night of the Crabs, though, sounds more like a porno.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. You know, she got a lot of crabs.
A dirty one, too. Ugh.
Hmm.
Okay. That sucks. Next day rolls around. As the doctor, I guess it's his responsibility to, like, check up on his patients.
Yeah.
So the first place he goes is to Tilda's parents' house. Knocks on the door. Hey, how's that Tilda doing? Let me take a look at her, see if she's okay. Mom just starts bawling her face off and goes back inside.
Yeah.
Dad's like, she's fine. Don't worry about it. And then the doctor's like, well, again, I'm going to want to put some eyeballs on her, make sure she's cool, because I gave her a sedative and I don't know what her problem is. And then she's like, we sent her to the city last night to get some real care with her cousin, so she's not here. Just don't worry about it. Leave us alone.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor's like, yeah, okay there, mister. Something foul is afoot here in this weirdo village.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. All right. Now we are on the one of the last nights, and we will go from there. Pretty soon there's a knock on the door. Well, before that, I should say... people are like as the doctor and his wife are looking for Tilda. People are like following the doctor through the village, with like clubs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do anything. They're just looking ominous and like giving him the stink eye. And I think just trying to make him feel uncomfortable and maybe intimidate him into leaving.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
No.
This Henry's a bad motherfucker, man. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm the doctor, bitch.
He's got balls of steel.
Fucking A. Yeah, I wouldn't be afraid of those guys either. Mm-hmm. They're pretty good at beating up retards, but I think I could knock at least two of them on their asses.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that sucks. Now we cut to that night. Well, before that, we see all these guys with the clubs chase Teddy down.
Yeah.
And put a good beating on him. Well, not really. They chase him down, Teddy kind of trips, and then they kick him over a cliff.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the end of Teddy.
Yeah, presumed dead.
Yeah. He goes rolling down the cliff, and then he like smacks his head on a rock, and then... That's the sound that Teddy makes. He dies. That sucks. For now, we are officially short one Teddy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, the doctors didn't see any of this, so it's not really pertinent to our story. We cut to that night. We have the doctor, Henry, his wife, Joanne, and their assistant, Lucy,
mm-hmm.
kind of making beds and getting things, ready for the medical office there. Pretty soon, there's a knock on the door, and it's all these ass white villagers wearing their black robes and shit.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, how about that Lucy? And
Dr. Because she's a hot piece of ace.
She is. Let's get that Lucy out here. Doctor's like, hey, go get your own, Lucy. This one's mine, and she's on the clock right now, by the way, so you can. She already took her lunch break. You'll have to come back at the end of her shift. They're like, nope, we need that Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
Lucy's like, shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she knows what's going on.
I guess
too.
It's my turn, huh? All right. Well, Lucy's like, yeah. I gotta go do this. It sucks, mm-hmm. but that's just what I'm gonna do. So the doctor and Joanne like plead with her, hey, don't do that. I don't know what's going on out there, but it's obviously not good. Tilda just did it, and she got disappeared. So Lucy's like, yeah, just don't worry about it. I'll see you guys when I see you. And she goes walking off with the black-robed villagers.
Mm-hmm.
Same fucking thing. They put her in like a nice nightgown, and then they march her down to the rocks and strap her in there. Doctor and Joanne's like, oh, you know, we can't get involved in this. These villagers and their ass-wipe ways. The doctor's like, fuck that. I just invested in 401k for this Lucy, so we need to get her ass back to work as soon as possible. So
plus, she's nice to look at.
She is pretty nice to look at. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's legal, though. So maybe there's like a doctor-patient privilege. I don't know. I don't know what he's into. It's weird. So he's like, fuck that. I'm going to go see what they did with Lucy, and I'm going to get her ass back here. So he goes taking off down the beach. By now, the villagers have already strapped her to the rocks, mm-hmm. and we get the blind dead on their zombie horses riding up the beach towards her. He runs down there. He sees her tied up, unties her. He's like, all right, we got to get the fuck out of here, dude. So they go hauling ass back to the doctor's office. Now the blind dead are on their ass.
Yeah, and the villagers are like, fuck this.
Yeah, the villagers saw the doctor and the Lucy make the escape from the rocks. So they're like, we got a lot of fucking problems.
Yeah.
And what we see from this point I thought was kind of funny. All the villagers rapidly packing their shit and getting the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, I don't know why you would live in this village to begin with.
Yeah, I would have done that in the first place.
It's a miserable fucking place.
Yeah.
Where do you even work in this village? There's one lady with a job.
Yeah.
And that's the bartender / grocery lady.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck
her,
you.
Put her on the rock.
Yeah! Well, then we can at least take turns working at the bar grocery area. All right, whatever. But to be fair, if they strap the old lady to the rock, I think the blind dead are going to be pissed. You know what I'm saying? They're going to be like, this? You want me to take this back to the castle? Fuck you! All right, that's interesting.
At least the men are safe.
Yeah, exactly. It's like one gay guy out there. Hello! Oh, I'm strapped to the rock out here, boys!
Come and get me!
That sucks. So now the village is pretty much empty except yeah. for the doctor and his people there in the office. About this time, Teddy just magically comes to. Apparently yeah. he was just knocked unconscious, and he wasn't even really that, well, I guess he was badly injured, but he's able to make his way to the doctor's office.
Mm-hmm.
So Teddy shows up at the doctor's office like nanoseconds before the blind dead do. He gets in. They look outside. They see the blind dead riding up on their zombie horses, so they start barricading the place.
Yeah.
Excellent. Good work. Very cool. Now we have like the same siege-esque situation that we had in Return of the Evil Dead, where they're all just kind of trying to hopefully hunker down until... I guess if we're playing by the same rules, if they make it to sunrise, then they're good, right?
Yeah.
Or if they get in that weird...
But how would you even know?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
You know? There's no set rules for these Templars, is the problem. All right, so they're just hunkered down there. Pretty soon, the blind dead actually manage to bust through the door and make their way into the doctor's office there.
Yeah.
Teddy gets it pretty much right there on the spot because he's too stupid and he's kind of injured, so he can't get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Hack him to death right there in the living room. Everybody else goes upstairs and goes full Virginia on us.
Yeah.
Jumps off the roof and steals the blind dead's horses. These guys got to be more responsible with their horses.
Yeah.
Every goddamn movie, they get their horses stolen.
Yeah, somebody's not doing their job.
You got to tie it to something, you know? It's a zombie horse. I mean, I guess it's not going to mosey off, but anybody really could just hop on one of these things and go.
Yeah.
Get like a key. I don't know. Do they have like a club? Remember those club things?
Yeah, maybe for steering wheel?
Yeah, or like, I don't know, you got to chain it to the post or something. whatever, so that's exactly what happens. They jump off the roof, they steal the blind dead horses, and then they take off down the beach. Now, this part was pretty fucking stupid, I thought, because they're riding down the beach, they got a nice lead on the blind dead, and then I don't know if she fell off, or if she just jumped off, or what happened, but at some point, Lucy just says, peace out, off the horse, right into the water.
Yeah.
Does she not know... was there like an ejector seat on that horse? I have no idea.
Yeah.
And the way, like...
It looked like she just fell.
Did she get dizzy?
I don't know.
Maybe the stress of the situation caught up to her or something. Maybe she's dehydrated.
Oh, maybe.
That could be that. I don't know. Very strange. But she just, for whatever reason, is no longer on the horse and splashes into the ocean on the beach there.
Maybe she injected herself with tranquilizers.
That could be it. A mild sedative to take the edge off of
this. That's right.
And then got a little woozy up there. Ah, blind dead quickly surround her and give her a good hack into pieces right there on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, apparently something that we did not know about and was never mentioned previous to this point in the movie is that there is a castle right there on the beach.
Yeah.
That just came out of nowhere on me. They're like, hey, the doctor's like, hey, Joanne, there's a castle. Maybe we can go in there and barricade ourselves in. So they go to the castle. This is like the castle keep of the Knights Templars, apparently. Yeah. They get in there. They start looking around. They see all the weird religious iconography and the tombs of more blind dead who apparently decided not to participate in tonight's activities.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, there's a bunch of coffins and there's like a bunch of weird satanic crap here. We got a lot of problems if we don't figure this out. They come across the weird fish devil statue.
Uh-huh.
And magically, Henry understands that that is the source of our problems. They're like,
they
worship that thing, so if we destroy that thing, we're good.
Mm-hmm.
And about this time, all the unemployed Knights Templars start coming out of their coffins. They're like, hey, you're interrupting our TV shows. So they start coming up very slow-like. And Henry's like, oh, shit, we're about to get jumped in here. So him and Joanne run up the steps, and they push over the weird fish devil statue, which goes tumbling down the stairs and smashes into a bunch of pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that was all we really needed to do this whole time, because at that point, the blind dead just kind of start falling down and just kind of calling it a day, really. And that's pretty...
And bleeding out the eyeballs.
Oh, yeah, they bleed out the eyeballs in this one. That was a nice touch.
Yeah, it was.
I haven't seen that yet. And that's pretty much your movie. Am I forgetting anything?
No.
I think so, yeah. What'd you think of The Night of the Seagulls there?
Mm, it was all right.
Yeah.
Another continuation.
disjointed. If you wanted to make like... Well, you can't, really. I was going to try and draw a line between Ghost Galleon and Night of the Seagulls and say that maybe once after they killed the models, they moved into the castle. But you had that flashback thing at the beginning, so that wouldn't make any fucking sense.
Right.
You can't make... whatever. I'm done burning brain cells trying to make this make sense for you people.
They had different cults all over
the place. That's got to be it. Yeah. And magically, we all decided to cut their eyes out.
Yeah.
So, whatever you say, man. I'm not mad at this franchise. I like the franchise. And as standalone movies, they're not bad.
Mm-hmm. They're watchable.
Little wacky with special effects, but for the early 70s, you got to kind of take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Pretty heavy on the bosom. Mm-hmm. A lot of naked young ladies.
Yeah, I was okay with that.
I found it very odd that this shitty village had so many hot chicks in it.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Yeah, maybe they got like a little slavery room down below.
Oh, that could be it. Yeah, they're shipping them in from somewhere else.
So maybe Lucy was actually turned 18. Maybe it's like an 18 club.
Could be.
Yeah.
I like that. A barely legal thing going on. I love that. Yeah. That was her birthday.
Yeah.
Is what it was. And then, as soon as the date rolled, she is officially 18, boys.
Knights take her.
Let's mount up. That's right. Oh, a bunch of knights looking at their watches. Is it showtime yet? Let's do it. Nasty. Buddy, give me a power ranking on the four Blind Dead movies.
I would go 1, 3, 2, 4.
From best to worst?
Best to worst.
I would go 1, 4, 2, 3. I think 3 was probably the weakest. I'm not mad at the Ghost Galleon. It's just, the miniature effects in that thing just are almost unexcusable.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that bathtub thing that they had going on?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty weird. I say it's worth checking out, inmates. I wouldn't say these are horrible movies, but they're not going to be the best thing you ever saw. But if you are in the mood for Undead Knights Templars, I don't think you can do any better than this.
I'd like to see them redo these.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah. Or just some kind of maybe even like graphic novels, just to make it all make sense somehow,
mm-hmm.
which would be a tough one to do.
Yeah,
it would. Tough to pull off. All right, inmates, we're going to take ourselves a little break. We'll get back to you with some other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, inmates. If you like what you hear, head over to the Padded Room Facebook group and support us through the patron link with a small monthly donation. Check out the T-Villain link at paddedroom.podbean.com and grab some t-shirts. Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of the show.
And we are back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we were going to launch a new segment this week, but in lieu of Miss Monica not being here, it's just not going to work. So instead, we're going to kick it old school with three on a meat hook.
Yeah.
Three on a meat hook.
This week's meat hook is going to be home invasion movies.
Yeah, it's fitting.
I agree. Buddy, why don't you start us off with number three, please?
All right, number three, let's do high tension.
High tension.
Yes.
Good stuff.
Yes.
I will never look at a severed head the same.
No.
I mean, there's places you can buy sex toys that will, without hurting anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You don't have to cut somebody's head off to do that. Get a fleshlight, man.
Yeah.
They're cheap.
Or a real person.
Or, yeah. Or
that's alive.
I mean, if you have... yeah. That's a big thing. But yeah. If you have no social ability, go to Susie's Sex Shop.
Yeah.
And get yourself a fleshlight or one of those blow-up things.
Yeah, a little doll.
Or you can get like a... if you got some money to spend, you get one of those real dolls.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Those the ones that are lifelike?
Yeah, those things are like $6,000.
Wow.
I always wanted to get one just to fuck with people. Like, handcuff it to my bed and leave it there. Or, like, have, like, a Super Bowl party and set her up in the living room and see how many of my friends try to hit on her. That's a good one, man. High tension.
Mm-hmm.
My number three, When a Stranger Calls.
Oh.
This one, I feel like this... I'm going to go with the original on this one with Carol Kane. I feel like this one started the whole urban legend of the call was coming from inside the house.
Oh, yeah.
And all that shit. Mm-hmm. But it made life pretty miserable for babysitters for a couple, 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew the dead babysitter story. And
oh, yeah.
Have you checked the children? All that shit. Mm-hmm. Scary stuff.
Yeah.
You ever babysit? I never have.
No.
Me neither.
No.
I got a job before I got into that. Plus, I don't like being around other people's kids.
Yeah, my female cousins did.
Yeah. That's like a chick job, I think. Or a teenage chick job, I should say. Very cool, man. How about number two?
Number two, Hush.
Hush. Oh, the one with the deaf girl?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Right on. That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the part in that where she's like, she's deaf, so she, or is she mute, too? Yeah.
Yeah, she's mute, too. She's both, yeah.
Yeah, but she's like... For a second, she starts, like, talking to herself about what she should do.
Right.
And she's like, I could run, but I'm already bleeding, and if I speed up, I might bleed out. Or I could stay and fight, but there might be more than one of them.
Yes.
And she's just running herself through all these options. I mm-hmm. love that part. Mike Flanagan.
Yes.
Love that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right on, dude. My number two, the classic You're Next.
Oh.
I feel like this was more of a comedy than anything, but I think that's part of the beauty of it, too.
Yes.
Adam Wingard, Simon Barrett at their finest. I think Joe Swanberg's character was probably my...
Oh, yeah.
The douchey brother who's mm-hmm. like, you know, the guy's like, maybe they jammed the cell phone signals. And he's like, oh, my God, you're such a lowlife. Like, yeah. What are you talking about? I'm a lowlife. We're being home invaded, and you're still calling me names, you asshole.
What a jerk.
Right? I think my favorite part, though, is when the chick thinks she's going to make a run for it, but they've got razor wire going across
the thing,
and she just clotheslines herself and mm-hmm. slits her own fucking throat.
Yep.
Wow.
That's, you got to pay attention.
That's not, yeah, dude. You can't be running blind,
no.
Especially when there's assholes out there with crossbows and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Good time. That's going to be my number two. Is You're Next?
Yeah. All right. My number one, The Stranger.
I had a feeling somebody was going to take The Stranger.
Yeah.
Just the atmosphere of that son of a bitch.
It's creepy.
The creepy music.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody hates Scott Speedman and Liv Tyler. I don't know why.
I thought they did great.
I thought they did great, too, man.
Yeah.
I think it's because Scott Speedman was such a pussy.
Yeah,
you know,
a creepy pussy.
Yeah, I mean, I like the part where he's trying to put the shotgun together and he has no idea.
No idea how to use it.
Come on, man. I'm sure you've seen an action movie at some point in your life. Yeah. Other than that, it's a great show, I thought. Uh-huh. You know, very creepy, very atmospheric, those baby doll masks.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good example of how just, like, the... I guess just the appearance of the villain can really turn a horror film, you know?
Because
I don't think we'd seen anything like that up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And the ending was gnarly, too.
Oh, yeah.
You were home? Mm-hmm. Fuck me! I was home. God! Is Tamara there? You're creepy!
Yeah.
But to be honest, I mean, that when she first shows up and you just look through the peephole and you see a blonde out there and she's like in her early 20s.
Hey, hello.
Come on in.
Absolutely.
I'll find you a Tamara if you want to come on in and hang out. Good one. Number one with the strangers. My number one is going to be a movie that you probably didn't think of in the home invasion category. It's my all-around favorite film of all time, Night of the Living Dead.
Oh, wow.
Home invasion. You put it more in the zombie category, but they're in a home and it's being invaded. It's not creepy dudes. It's zombies.
Yeah,
just the siege element of that movie I found pretty good. And the way it almost comes across as like a microcosm of a social economic breakdown, just with this group of people. You know, you have the rich whiteys downstairs, and you got to listen to me. And then somebody has a better idea, so they get all combative, and then things and social commentaries and things like that.
Hmm.
My all-around... I would say number one favorite film of all time is Night of the Living Dead. Wow. So any way I can shoehorn that into any other category.
Any category, yeah.
I'll put a romantic comedy, sure. Night of the Living Dead. All right, inmates, that's our meat hook for the week. If you want to tell us your three favorite home invasion movies, feel free to do so. We'd love to hear it.
Absolutely.
ThePaddedRoom2011@hotmail.com is the email, or you can get us on the mental health hotline at 775-378-0275. In the meantime, I guess we will jump into what are you looking at?
Oh, yeah.
What are you looking at?
I got a few things here. Watched a movie called Red Velvet from 2008.
Oh.
It's an interesting take on, I guess, it's kind of like a movie within a movie, I guess you'd call it.
Hmm.
It's basically this writer, and he's sort of stalking his neighbor, but then he actually kind of runs into her at the laundromat, so they start talking. And she's like, oh, you're a writer, write me a story. So he starts writing her this slasher horror story.
Right.
And then there's a twist at the end where you find out things are a little more real than we thought they were.
Hmm.
Not too bad. Cast a Deadly Spell from 1991.
Wow.
Seen this one?
No.
Great show. I forgot how badass this was. Picture like a 1920s gangster movie, but... with like heavy horror and Lovecraft elements. The universe that this takes place in is one where magic is just prevalent and everybody's using it for just whatever reason they want to use it for.
Mm-hmm.
So it picks up with our detective, who's like a hard-boiled private eye detective, Philip Lovecraft.
Oh.
Wink, wink.
Yeah.
Played by Fred Ward, who's a bad motherfucker.
Oh, yeah, yes.
And basically, we have like a shady nightclub owner who's trying to get a hold of the Necronomicon to summon the old ones. But there's like some intrigue, and there's somebody's daughters involved, and he's got to unravel the whole shit.
Hmm.
It's awesome, man. I love this movie.
Wow.
There's like, you know, just everybody's using magic. Like, there's a mechanic, and his biggest gripe is that gremlins, like actual little fucking creatures, are getting in people's engines.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's good times.
Hmm.
Check that out. There's a sequel to that called Witch Hunt, which I don't remember seeing. I'm going to have to check that one out.
Hmm.
Fields of the Dead from 2014.
Nice.
Not that great.
Okay.
It's, I mean, it's standard horror film fare. A group of kids go to an abandoned barn for some kind of a college study, and one of them gets possessed and starts whacking the other ones. Oh. It's not bad. It's low budget as shit, and it's pretty tight and well put together. But like, if you were not a horror fan and you wanted like a middle of the road horror movie that's not going to scare you but is going to entertain you, that might be a good way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Blind Sun from 2015. This is a Shudder exclusive. This one's kind of like The Shining in Greece, I guess. Oh, you could say.
Okay.
You got this Turkish guy who has been hired by a very wealthy Greek family to house sit, but this whole thing takes place in like a nihilistic future where water is a commodity and you have to buy water, and it's apparently very expensive.
Hmm.
So you have a bunch of asswipes in tent. Like, this is a very rich Greek family, so they have like various swimming pools and gardens.
Wow.
They can afford all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in the surrounding town can't, so they already hate this family.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's why they're leaving, and they hired this poor Turkish schmuck to come watch the house.
Hmm.
Huge house. He basically goes crazy during the house-sitting thing, and he thinks people are in the house, and gets some nice little psychological areas in there. You could probably take it or leave it.
Okay.
Lastly, We Go On from 2016, also a Shudder exclusive.
Oh.
This one's pretty fucking badass. You have an agoraphobic, he's not just he's basically afraid of everything. He's like a film editor, and he's offering $30,000 to anybody that can give him definitive proof of life after death.
Hmm.
So, like, there's a bunch of nonsense that goes on, and then he whittles it down to, like, three people. One of them is like a scholarly guy, another one is a millionaire guy, and then the third one is a medium.
Okay.
The scholarly guy sets up this elaborate like hoax thing. The theory with the scholarly guy is that if you can revert yourself back to a childhood state, then you open up your receptors to paranormal crap.
Oh.
It doesn't work. The rich guy turns out is a hoax, but he finds out before he even talks to him. And then the medium, like, turns him on to some shit about, like, his dad and stuff like that. Mm. And then there's a really cool twist where this other dude just calls him, and he, like, starts following this guy around. And then, I don't want to ruin this, but the guy basically leads him to his own dead body. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm a ghost, and there's that's my body right there.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go. But then who are you going to pay the 30 grand to? Right. Can't give it to a ghost. Mm-mm. So, in a way, he kind of got a freebie, I guess. So I'm looking at, buddy. How about you, man?
All right. Worked a lot of overtime last week, so didn't get a chance to watch a whole lot. Just a couple more episodes of The Bates Motel and a couple more episodes of The Game of Thrones. So I just finished on Game of Thrones episode 7.
Cool.
Of the first season.
Cool. You're almost at the end of the first season.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ruin it for you, although I'm tempted to.
Winter is coming.
Winter is definitely coming. Not anytime soon, though.
Oh.
You got a ways to go before winter actually shows up.
Oh, okay.
All right, amigo, let's get ourselves into some immersion therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Immersion therapy.
What did you think of The Watcher, man?
It was predictable, actually. Right after the crow appeared, and then seeing how much the neighbor lady was forcing the muffins,
mm-hmm.
I figured out the ending. I told Brenda, it must have been like 15, 20 minutes into
it.
And sure enough, I called it the kid just being the crow.
Yeah, I didn't see the ending with the kid coming. I did see that nutty old lady being the source of the problems.
Mm.
It wasn't that great, man.
No.
Kind of slow. A whole lot of nothing, really. I mean, just weird pseudo home invasions. Oh, you're overworking. You're stressed.
Eat this.
I get stressed all the time. I don't fucking hallucinate.
Yeah.
You know? People say, hey, calm down. All right. I didn't see a fucking shadow person or a weird bird man.
Right.
All right. Whatever. And how much are you going to take before you get the fuck out of there?
Right.
People are breaking my windows, you know? And you can't blame it on the interracial thing because they're in Los Angeles, for Christ's sake.
Right.
So I did like the acting in this, though. The mm-hmm. kid from X-Men, the black guy, I thought he did pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
I've never been a fan of that old lady, whatever her name is.
Yeah.
She played the wife in, Pet Sematary.
Oh, yeah.
She did not age well,
mm-mm.
if I do say so myself. It wasn't that great. Other than that, man.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I've picked worse. I'll give you that. But this one, not so good. I can say you can probably skip The Watcher, Inmates, if you want to see it. What do you got for us this week, buddy?
All right. This week, let's check out 2009's The Human Centipede. It is directed and written by Tom Six. Cast is Dieter Laser, Ashley C. Williams, and Ashlyn Yenny.
Yes.
Yes.
Dieter Laser at his finest.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that's his real name.
Right?
Yeah. Dieter. Dude, if I would just be hanging out at parties. Hey, Dieter Laser, nice to meet you. Dieter Laser, how you doing? Hey, name's Dieter Laser. That's me. My name's Dieter Laser. Nice to meet you. Mm-hmm. Dieter Laser. I love that. Check that out, Inmates. You probably already seen it. If not, what the fuck is your problem? Watch it. We'll watch it again and compare notes next week.
Absolutely.
It's a good time.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, well, we can't really educate Miss Monica since she's not here.
Yeah, they just got another week to think about
who it is. Yeah, I can tell you somebody already nailed it.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to blow that out of the water, but if you think you can figure it out between now and then by all means, let us know. In the meantime, I guess we'll call this a short one and get right into the werewolf athletics business.
Yeah.
The Company of Wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We shot our second short film last night, buddy.
Yeah, we did.
How do you feel about that?
Awesome. I can't wait.
Let me tell you something, man. I've been thinking about this for a while.
Okay.
Let's just talk about people for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Behind their backs. No, I'm just kidding. Here's something to think about, Inmates. You gotta keep an eye on the people in your life, because there's people in your life that... I'm not saying you should cut certain people out of your life, but I am saying that there are positives and negatives out there. Now, about 5 years ago, I started this show with three fairly close friends. Two of them just kind of decided they weren't into it anymore. One of them went on to bigger and better things. God bless her for that. But the other two just kind of decided to quit showing up. And when that happened, I had to decide whether or not I still wanted to keep doing the show. The good news is that I kept doing the show, which led me to my first short film, mm-hmm. which led me to Miss Monica, which led me to Buddy, and here we are today. Now, if I had been given the opportunity that I had last night 5 years ago, it simply would not have happened. I would have went to those guys, they would have gave me a bunch of excuses, and then I would have had to say, well, sorry, I just can't make this happen. The good news is that while those two guys are still in my life, they're not the people that I go to with these opportunities anymore. Kind of on the negative side, I'd say. To give you an example, 5 years ago, if I had told those two guys that I had to cancel the show, they would have high-fived each other. If I tell Monica and Buddy that I have to cancel the show, they ask me what my fucking problem is, and then we do the show anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Case in point. So it's not to say that they're bad people, but on the positive-negative spectrum, that's just something you got to look out for in the people in your life, I guess is what I'm saying. You know, a good friend of mine once told me, if you want to be a filmmaker, all you have to do is start making films. I'm not saying I'm a filmmaker. I'm not even saying I'm a short filmmaker. I'm just saying I'm a guy with a camera that likes spending time with his friends. Again, if I had went to other people in my life with these nutbag ideas of mine, they're not going to get off the ground. This podcast probably wouldn't have gotten off the ground. Really, I would probably be playing video games and probably be about 60 pounds heavier right now. Good news, I have positive people in my life, like Monica, Buddy, and everybody that showed up last night for that short film shoot, and now we have more content to give you. So, what I'm getting at here, Inmates, is that just be aware of who influences you in your life, I guess, is what I'm saying. Does that make sense, buddy?
Yeah.
Positives, yes. Negatives, you don't have to necessarily cut them off or get rid of them, but just don't let them weigh you down, I guess, is what I'm saying. people can be like anchors sometimes. And if you let them, they'll drag you right to the bottom of the murky depths of overweight, obesity, diabetes, sometimes even like fucking drug stuff and other nastiness that I can think of, but I don't want to say. So just bear that in mind, inmates. I'm very fortunate to have Buddy and Monica and everybody else that showed up last night. We're going to have another kick-ass short film for it. Well, we hope it's kick-ass. We put some effort into this one, is what I'm telling you. And that's all been made possible by the people that I have around me and their general attitudes and willingness to just take my nutsack ideas and run with it. Because really, that's all it boils down to. It's such a weird feeling, man.
Mm-hmm.
Getting a crazy idea and just putting it on paper, and then like 3 weeks later, I'm basically watching it on TV.
Yeah.
It's so weird to me. It's very surreal. Anyway, that's it for that. You got anything you want to add to that?
No. Let me go. No.
All righty. Join us next week. We're going to be launching into Creature Feature Month, as dictated by Chris. She is picking next month's theme, and it's going to be creature features.
Yeah.
So there's that. We're going to do The Blob from 1958 next week.
All right.
In the meantime, like, comment, subscribe, do some t-shirt shopping at the T-Villain link via paddedroom.podbean.com. You can also do your Amazon shopping there. And if you feel like contributing to this shit show, by all means, go right ahead. Whatever you can afford, inmates, it's always greatly appreciated. And everything that you put into this podcast, we're going to put back into it in the form of new content and other cool stuff, t-shirts, stickers, all that stuff.
Absolutely.
None of it goes into our pockets yet, but I would like it to at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, for the Padded Room Podcast, Buddy, Miss Monica, and in absentia, I'm afraid visiting hours are over.
Bye. Have a great week. Treasure dealers drunk for the first time.